Tonight, you're going to make a memory that will last a lifetime. That memory could be of you standing in a roaring crowd, helping your team defend home ice. Or that memory could be of you watching the game at home, while your spouse clips her toenails, and your son practices the saxophone, and your daughter makes a smoothie. Get your tickets on StubHub. Your ticket out.
This is Dean Blundell and Company. Listen online at sportsnet.ca/590.
Hi, welcome to your Thursday. A day away from the weekend.
Great weekend this morning. Great weekend this weekend. Great watching things to watch. Great time of year.
Speaking of watching things to watch, T-Wolves Raptors tonight, 7 p.m. You can listen to it on Sportsnet. Also, 8 p.m., how about this? Raiders Chiefs on Sportsnet television. That's on the network tonight. Both of those teams are two of the best teams in football, and lots on the line, lots to get to as week 14. Hard to believe.
Best teams in football?
Two of the best teams in football. The Raiders and the...
Of the best teams in football.
That's what I said. Two of the best teams in football.
Okay, they're up there.
Yeah.
Are they not two of the best teams in football?
Yes.
That's what I said. So why do you have an issue with it?
Well, the best team in football, you could arguably say, is the Dallas Cowboys.
So you could also say the best team in football is the 10-2 New England Patriots. I said two of the best teams in football.
The Raiders win tonight. And I don't know if they have to prove anything else to you. Will they be even more legit tonight if they win in Kansas City and beat the Chiefs?
Yes. And here's it. Yes, because the Kansas City Chiefs, to me, they're like, they're a damn good team, but they've always been fool's gold to me. Right? Like, as good as they've been, Andy Reid is still their coach, and they still find a way to screw it up in the playoffs. However, I can say this safely, that watching the Raiders play this year and that game against the Bills, the Bills really handed to them. And Derek Carr did a magnificent job, and so did Khalil Mack. I was thinking, who's their best player? Because lots of talk about Derek Carr being the MVP of the league.
It's Khalil Mack.
But Khalil Mack is the most dominant player at his position other than maybe Von Miller, would you say? Yeah,
Von Miller's tremendous.
DeMarcus Ware is in that conference.
Justin Houston for Kansas City's tremendous as well. But Khalil Mack, again, Dean, it's the recipe for success in the NFL. They can throw the ball around the football field. They have a dynamic offense. They protect Derek Carr incredibly well. He never gets sacked.
Yeah,
the offensive line is great, and they get
and
to the quarterback.
The pass rush is unbelievable.
Yeah, because they force you to throw the football, and that's when Khalil Mack goes crazy. Yeah. Went to University of Buffalo. UB, Khalil Mack. Shocking that he actually went there to school.
Yeah, no kidding. Anyway, it was just an interesting conversation I was having with a friend of mine, and he loves David Carr, Derek Carr. He loves the Carr brothers, anything Carr with two R's. So we were talking. He said that Carr was their best player. I said, I don't think he is. I don't think he's the biggest difference maker on that team. I think if you don't have Khalil Mack on that team, that's a different team. That they don't have that same record.
Nah, that's a hot take. I know what you guys are saying, but without great quarterback, you don't really win. You don't have a chance to win the Super Bowl. That's the reason. They're putting up 30-plus points. He's an amazing player. Granted, that line has done a great job, but you ask most Raiders fan who they would rather have, you'd think they would take
If you had to give
Khalil
up one,
Mack.
If it was a salary issue and you got to take one guy,
the quarterback,
you take Khalil Mack or you take Carr?
The quarterback is still the most important position, maybe in all of sports, not just football. Right? You can put...
Yeah.
It's true. I know there's a lot of players in that football field. Without a great quarterback, are you going to win it
you
all?
Last year they did. Last year the Denver Broncos showed that you can win it all without a great quarterback, and that's a great example of how important. And you used to think that, right?
Was it just Von Miller, or was it amazing?
It was Wolf. It was right. Miller. It was Ware. It was their pass rush in general. Their defense. They did just enough to be able to win. Peyton Manning was just good enough, and they really just protected the football. But last year, a defense won the Super Bowl.
Right,
and we doesn't happen very often.
Not too often. We saw it. Dilfer is the name I always think of with that Baltimore.
Well, you can't lose and still expect to win.
You cannot lose games and still win.
Yeah.
It has happened. I just think the quarterback is still the most important.
Right, but that offensive line is tremendous, and he has all the time in the world to throw the football. Like Dak Prescott. You think Dak Prescott would be doing this good if he had the Colts offensive line? No, he wouldn't, because he has the time to survey the field and make the passes.
No, but how much better would the Buffalo Bills be if they had Dak Prescott instead of Tyrod Taylor?
Tyrod Taylor's a really good quarterback.
Give me a break with that. He's average. They talk about it every day in Buffalo.
Good.
He's average.
You know what? They're I think they're dead last in passing, but it's not because of him. It's just because that's not how they win. They win their games by checking it down and giving it to LeSean McCoy, and then one or two deep strikes, and the rest is just dink, 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 dink. Right? And that's what they do. But at the same time, Tyrod Taylor isn't a very bad quarterback in the NFL.
No,
he's not a dynamic quarterback. Yeah, he's an average quarterback in the NFL, for sure.
And the reason I think the Bills are not where they are is because they have an average quarterback. And I think you upgrade in that spot. He misses receivers. As much as he is a threat with his legs, I don't think it's that great. Anyway, so let's get back to our poll question.
Yeah.
All right.
As much as we want to talk about the NFL. And hopefully, to me, the most interesting thing about this game tonight is this looks like an elite matchup. And will it, because it's played on Thursday night, will it somehow be a dog? And I hope not.
Last two, 30-7 and 41-10 or something like that?
Yeah. The players aren't ready to play on Thursday. It's a problem. Okay, so we were talking about Marcus Stroman. Morosi mentioned in the tweet that the Colorado Rockies and the Blue Jays discussed a trade involving him and Charlie Blackmon, who, by the way, is awesome at home and kind of average on the road, if you look at his splits. But the question being, and because we talked about Marcus Stroman even before, maybe when the offseason began, would he be a piece the Jays would dangle to acquire some help in the outfield? So we'll put it to a poll question. Would you be fine with the Jays parting with Marcus Stroman to acquire, would we say, elite outfield help?
Yeah, that was the rumor. Charlie Blackmon, and he had an elite season.
Left-handed
if he's not an elite established player, he's well on his way, yeah.
Late bloomer. So, and I think it's an interesting question. You guys think you'd be willing to part with? I don't think so, because Hap and Estrada, they're both gone. Estrada, this is his last year. Hap is second. Then who you're building around? Jess Sanchez?
Mm-hmm.
So I think I want him as those two guys to build around going forward. So we'll put it up on Twitter at It's Dean Blundell and see what you think.
Yeah, check it out. The baseball topic, hotly anticipated because of this couple of seasons we've had here, obviously, and the rumors are crazy. Lots of rumors in George's update, which is right now. Good morning, George. How are you, sir?
I'm super. The Maple Leafs tried to tame the Minnesota Wild last night, Dean, down at the ACC in hopes of climbing out of the Eastern Conference basement. Head coach Mike Babcock was asked about that very thing in the morning skate.
You're in last place in the Eastern Conference this morning. Could you speak to that?
Nope.
Yeah. He doesn't want
to. Are you guys with me in that this is a really stupid question to ask a coach who knows he's in?
It's a statement.
Like, he doesn't know. Yeah, it's not a question.
Yeah.
You're in last place in the Eastern Conference this morning. Could you speak to that?
That's just a rub-in.
Yeah.
Now I want to know who it is. At first, I didn't want to know who asked that question. Now I want to know who it is because it's A, super unprofessional, B, not even a question. Like you said, it's a statement. It's one person that it's, you know what it is? It's a disruptor. It's someone that's been sent into the room to go and piss Mike Babcock off before the game to get him off his game. It's probably someone with the Habs, maybe someone with the Senators, maybe the Wild. I'm not too sure. It's a plant. It's someone that went in there and said, hey, listen, ask him what it's like to be in last place because you know that'll piss him off. Because he loves to win more than anybody else.
Right.
That might be the most nearsighted question I have ever heard in a pregame anything.
It's frustrating when you hear a question like that. You're right.
It's not a question.
It's a statement because it's just fishing for good audio.
Someone trying to make a name for himself.
You can say that maybe they are doing their job because they're trying to get a good piece of tape out of Mike Babcock.
Yep.
Of course, they're in last place. All right. You know that guy's super fiery.
Do you want to talk about it? Well, yeah.
What else is he supposed to say?
Yeah, you know what? Actually, I lost my parents at the age of 9 in a tragic car accident. Would you like to explain how that makes you feel? No. Oh, well, I've been recently diagnosed with something terrible. Can you tell us about it? You've recently been diagnosed with something awful. Would you like to talk about it? No. I don't want to talk about being in last place because I got paid to come here and win, and I understand the rebuild crap, but... What a baited question.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Let's get to the game itself where Babcock's Leafs got into a hole just 8:42 into the game.
Carrick stand on a pass, but Kadri was there to help out. Now he's double-teamed. The pass in front scores! A turnover back of the net, and Jason Zucker has opened the scoring here for Minnesota.
Joe Bowen with a call right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan's Zucker's fourth beat Freddie Anderson to give Minnesota the 1-0 lead. Hey, speaking of Minnesota, one of our favorites on the show is from Minnesota. Sean William Scott Dean, a.k.a. Stifler, who made his big-time debut in 1999's American Pie.
Sherman! Hey! Doing here.
Yeah, he was really good in that movie. Hey, the Wilds would double their lead 5:40 after the opening the scoring thanks to a local kid.
Played by Koivu up on the wing, brought out by Jared Spurgeon ahead. Stewart in on goal, scores! Well, the 20 people he bought tickets for are pretty excited because Chris Stewart, the Toronto native, gets a breakaway pass and makes it 2-0.
Yeah, Chris Stewart's fourth made it 2-0 Wild. Oh, by the way, you know Minnesota has the fifth highest level of binge drinking? According to the American Journal of Public Health study, 30.2...
Is there another kind of drinking?
Social?
What is that?
I don't... What is social? Like tonight we have a gathering this afternoon.
Yes.
So what's a social two?
What is that?
I think not getting plowed is social drinking. I think it's going and having a drink over a couple of hours or a couple of drinks over a few hours. I don't think it's any more than two over 4 hours or one.
Uh-oh. Then I guess I'm not socially drinking tonight.
Are you socially getting home responsibly?
Yes.
Good.
By responsible.
Yeah, but social drinking is a myth. No one socially drinks. Well, I drink to be social. It's like social smoking. I've been social smoking for 20 years. Yeah, that means you're a smoker.
So if you want to, you know, take it easy but have a couple of drinks, what's the acceptable amount at a Christmas party? You say two over 4 hours?
11. Is 11 drinks okay? Well, are the drinks free?
Yes. If the drinks are free, it's open bar.
If they're free, then there's no limit.
I think that's a poll question. What is the acceptable amount of drinks at a Christmas party without getting...
You know what's going to happen to today? Is everybody that feels like they don't get enough from this place will just get as goosed as they can. Because you know what that is? It's a way... Christmas parties I've been into in the past with some people, you'll hear a guy go like this,
"Well, I don't get paid enough, so I'm getting wasted."
Really? Yeah.
They're paying for all this tonight. That's my bonus. All their booze. And that shrimp over there.
But I don't think it's that kind of party. I don't think it's one of those. Because we've already had our Christmas party, right? No, we just didn't go. It was a Sportsnet Christmas party last week.
Oh, I thought it was today's. That's our radio station.
It's a radio thing. It's a get-together thing. But for whatever reason, Sportsnet separates itself from, you know, all the other radio stations.
Or if people judge you and you crush like 8 Ryan Cokes and then you're totally fine and people are like, haven't you had like 8 Ryan Cokes and you're not? So what?
I was at a business meeting once where a guy had literally 11 beers. For in 2 hours. You want another one? Yep. Another one? Yep.
Like, the guy is drunk.
No. And he was unbelievable. Like the guy was nails in the conversation. Not just functioning. Sharp as a tack. Yeah. So.
Interesting.
You know, if you can do that, I guess there's no limit on the booze tonight. But I won't be drinking because I'll have to drive. And you shouldn't drink and drive at all.
100%. Is shots acceptable at a Christmas party?
Not a chance, no. No,
really?
Can't do shots.
Not even like a kamikaze shot?
Like a body shot or just a shot?
Well, who's asking their boss, hey, bring over that belly button?
That's
a little offside.
Let's get Dave
we
or Jason.
Brown sugar we on got, that belly button.
We
Give
got
me that
two
thing.
Bosses. We got two bosses. We'll put the lemon on Jason and we'll put the booze on Dave.
It's like a bowl of oatmeal. Get that thing over here.
You do a body shot off Dave, and then you do the lemon from Jay's navel.
That sounds like my nightmare.
No, you grabbed a lemon out of his mouth.
Yes.
Yes.
This is going to be a hell of a party.
I can't wait. But if you only do one, that's socially acceptable, right? If it's one tequila shot with the lemon out of the mouth. And you lick the neck with the salt. Big deal.
Yeah. And you hope that they've shaved.
Yeah. All right. It's fine. Just trying to build teamwork. It's a team building exercise. Leafs would finally get on the board just 2.5 minutes after the Wild made it 2-0.
Man, you'd have to be quite the team.
Rebound scores! Jason Kadri's shot provides the juiciest of rebounds. It's 2-1.
Yeah, Ben Smith's second from Kadri and Riley made it 2-1 Minnesota, and that's where we stood after one. The Wild will restore their two-goal lead, just a buck 15 into the middle frame.
Riley taking his man to the ice and Niederreiter. Puck comes in front. They score! A quick pass in front of the net, and Eric Staal is there to bang it home in the backhand. And then Wild have restored their two-goal lead.
Yeah, Staal's sixth made it 3-1 Wild. Did you guys know that Jesse Ventura was born in Minneapolis? And, of course, he went on to become the 38th governor of Minnesota. He was a wrestler, really famous guy. This crazy conspiracy theory show that he just blurts out all this craziness. But my favorite thing that he's ever done was 1987's Predator.
This stuff will make you a damn sexual tyrannosaurus, just like me.
Yep. Hey. The Maple Leafs would make it close because Tyler Bozak went backy shelf.
Pass intercepted now by Komarov. Sends it to the net. Big rebound. Big save by goaltender Dubnyk off of Nylander.
This goal.
Sent into the Minnesota zone. Broken up Bozak. Nice move in on the back end. Scores! Holy mackerel! What a play! Tyler Bozak steals the puck. Undresses a defenseman, and the old-time backhand finds the back of the net.
Yeah, that one was Bozak 6, was unassisted and cut the Wild lead to 3-2, but that's as close as the Leafs would get. They outshot Minnesota 17-3 in the third, but the Wild got a 35-save performance from Devan Dubnyk in a 3-2 win over the Maple Leafs. Here's his coach, Bruce Boudreau, on his hot take about his goaltender.
If he was in Toronto, there would be no Carey Price. I'm just saying media-wise.
Interesting.
Well, they outshot, Toronto outshot Minnesota 35-17 yesterday. 17 in the third period for Toronto against 3 for Minnesota. So they should have won that game. And it wasn't just that game they should have won. Should have won the game in Vancouver, which Fabro pointed out earlier. So there's 4 points you missed out on, right? So, Babcock said the same thing after the game. You know, these guys are good and they're young, but they got to figure out a way to win in this league. They got to figure out a way to win those games.
You mean this clip?
You want to be better. We look like we got a bunch of kids that know, you know, they're good little players. We got to find a way to win every night.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, it is true. I mean, as much fun as it has been to watch these players, they do make mistakes. We saw a careless first period and early second when they made defensive issues, Bozak in particular. Anderson didn't have a good night, and there you go. We walk away. Minnesota's a great defensive team, the best in hockey, so you lose. And now, it doesn't feel like it, but the Leafs are tied now for last in the East and fourth last overall in the NHL. And this is the first morning I thought, I kind of want to look at the NHL mock draft for next year. And that's not to say the Leafs are out of it, you know, with the parity the way it is. You know, win a couple games in a row and you'll be right back in the playoff mix. But I don't know. At what point does the conversation, are Leafs fans starting to look a little bit towards, you know, if this thing falls off the rails, you know?
They should.
Is that when we can get our defensemen that the Leafs need? Because we don't have a playoff defense. That's
yeah,
sure.
I don't know that they've started to dream of the playoffs. Fans, anyway, have started to dream of the playoffs, which is probably a good thing. I think people are still firmly based in the reality that this is a huge rebuild and it's not after 1 year and you've got some great pieces and you're going to draft well again. So I think people are okay with it. I don't think anybody's gotten too carried away with thinking, ooh, this is the year, we're back in it, baby.
No, you just look at the standings and it's a bit of a reality check. As much fun as we've had, you're sitting at the bottom of the standings there.
Real quick, I thought William Nylander played really well last night on the fourth line and he was creating a lot of chances.
Yep.
Well, they bumped him up when they were looking for offense later in the game, too.
Does it feel like he's in his doghouse, Mike Babcock? And I don't know why.
It's because he doesn't think he works hard enough and plays well enough in his end, right? He always is quick to, you know, say great things about Hyman and Shostakov. He works hard every night.
He never says
that about Nylander. And do you have a problem with that? I know some folks do because he's talented. Give him a lift all the time. But Babcock clearly thinks that's a player he has to press on a little bit. And do we have a problem with that? I don't. I feel like we should probably trust Mike Babcock. He probably has a good feel of his room. But I wonder how long that continues, or will Nylander get the message, or will he always be one of those players that bothers Babcock.
Well, you watched the way Mitch Marner has blocked shots and played defense and played responsibly in his own end, and he gets a lot of pub from Babcock's, as does Austin Matthews. If you watch the game last night, William Nylander, as strong as he was offensively, you never notice him defensively ever. So I'm with you. I trust Babcock on it, and I think that's when in the end one of those things that you're going to have to see a huge uptick with him if you want rumors of him not being with his organization, being traded for defensive help, to go away, because that's not going to go away as long as he continues to piss off Mike Babcock in his own end.
Right, and especially if Nylander does want to be a center down the road, because there's still discussion with him and Marner, I guess. Are they centers? Are they wingers? Right now, they're wingers. To play center in the NHL, not just for Mike Babcock, you have to be really defensively responsible. So he's got to pick it up in that regard.
Babcock's team tied for last place in the East in Boston on Saturday night right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. More Leafs talk straight ahead with Nick Kiprios at 7:32. He's down at the NHL Board of Governor meetings in West Palm Beach, Florida. We'll ask him about the Leafs and what's going on there as well. Hey, let's quickly get to the Blue Jays. They signed left-hander Brett Oberholzer to a minor league deal yesterday at baseball's winter meetings, adding a depth piece that he might be with the big club, but more than likely will be in Buffalo. The 27-year-old split last season between the Phillies and the Angels, logging 70 1/3 innings with a 5.89 ERA. All right, let's get to the interesting stuff from yesterday. Bob Nightingale of USA Today, big-time writer down south, tweeted this: unless a surprise entrant slugger Edwin Encarnacion's finalists appear to be the hashtag Blue Jays and Indians. So Edwin might go either to Cleveland or stay here with the Blue Jays.
I had a girlfriend once that told me that she would get back to me soon as to whether or not we were going to be able to stay together. And I feel the exact same way. Rigo, so, you know, have you time to think? How you feeling? I'm not sure. Need more time.
Hmm.
2 days, 3 days late. So, you doing all right? Yeah, I don't know. I'll get back to you. And like 3 weeks later, I get a phone call, and she's like, you know what? I really want to make this work with you and I. And I said, that's a little late, because I have moved on. So I'm getting the same feeling, but it's weird because I'm getting the feeling on behalf of the Blue Jays, and I'm also getting it on behalf of Edwin, right? You got to wonder if Edwin's pissed off at this point because of his market has absolutely cratered. That part of it, and then you got to wonder if he feels disrespected by the organization. And the other part is you got to wonder if the Jays actually want him around anymore. I know they do. You want 42 home runs in your lineup. You want 130 ribbies in your lineup. You want a guy that loves to be here and loves the fan base, and they love him and show some goodwill. Obviously, there's lots of upside to having him here, but you got to wonder, because of the planning they've already done with the Pierce and the Morales bit, you got to wonder if there's space for him here anymore.
And that's fascinating, too. Buster Olney of ESPN tweeted yesterday that if the Jays actually reconsider and sign Edwin, they would trade Steve Pierce, which is incredible after just signing him, because apparently there's still a lot of teams that would be interested in him, and they would actually deal him.
I'd be crushed.
It would be hilarious if they actually traded Steve Pierce by signing Edwin.
It'd be crazy, wouldn't it? After all we've seen.
That would be the weirdest thing ever.
But it's a no-brainer if you're going to give this guy 17 and a half or 18 million bucks over the next 3 years. So whatever that turns into, 50, 55 million, if I'm doing my math correct, in and around there, you're stupid not to. If you can put Edwin back in this roster, he's a right-handed bat. He's the same age as Steve Pierce. He also plays from first, and people love him. And you're going to get him for, I don't know, 10 million more? Yeah, you do it.
Well, Shapiro and Atkins always talk about the value of players. If that price comes down,
yep,
both in terms and dollars, there's no way Shapiro and Atkins can say, well, that's not great value. Mm-hmm. And then you just kind of figure out a way to make it all work.
You split the time between Morales. Well, more so Edwin at first, but Morales can play occasionally at first. Then you're feeling really good about that position, the DHN and first base.
Yeah, you bet.
John Morosi had this tweet yesterday, too. Really interesting stuff. Rockies have interest in Blue Jays starter Marcus Stroman, but Toronto isn't willing to trade him for Charlie Blackmon. Straight up, we have a poll question, too, about Marcus Stroman. Check that out at Esteem Lindell. We'll do that at 7:30 as well. Hey, winter meeting special on Sportsnet. That goes at 2:30. The Yankees opened up their wallets and signed Aroldis Chapman to a 5-year deal worth $86 million. That's crazy. Raptors and T-Wolves tonight, pregame at 7 o'clock right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We got a beauty Thursday night of Raiders and Chiefs from Arrowhead, 8 o'clock on Sportsnet.
Thank you, sir. It is 7:26. Nick Kiprios, insider of the NHL and Sportsnet, Board of Governor meetings in the NHL. He is there, and we will check in with him next. You're listening to Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Absolutely free. You're listening to Dean Blundell and Company on Toronto's Sports Radio, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
.733. Welcome, busy show. Lots left to do. Nick Kiprio standing by. He's in West Palm Beach for the NHL Board of Governor meetings. We'll get to that coming up in just a second as his life continues to be better than ours. Also, Casey Stern from the MLB Network, he's going to check in. He's been at the winter meetings. He was, if you follow him on Twitter, a great follow. Absolutely shocked by what the Washington Nationals traded away to get Adam Eaton yesterday. He couldn't believe it. He said it was theft and ridiculous. But we'll get to that as well as the Blue Jays and rumors. And you know, we'll deal with Dan Duquette basically telling Jeff Blair yesterday, yeah, no one in this city likes Jose Bautista. So we told him that and that we're not interested in signing him. Talk about an ego booster for Jose Bautista. So that's coming up in a few minutes. Also, John Scott. Yes, that John Scott, formerly of the NHL All-Star Game last year, and of course, a journeyman in the NHL who called it a career. Great piece on the Players Tribune about him saying how thankful he was that he got to do what he did, even though it was tough. And obviously, this last year, very difficult for him, but wonderful ending to a great, great man's career in the NHL. That'll be a little after 8 o'clock as well. And Tim Bezbachenko, the general manager of Toronto FC, as they get to set to play the MLS Cup at home this weekend, George.
He's been on our show a couple times before the playoffs, and yeah, here we are, MLS Cup final.
It's probably lots to do with us.
It's totally us.
Probably us. 7:34, Nick Kiprios next. Here's George with an update. Hi, George.
Hi, Dean, and it's brought to you by MaintenanceCare.com. The Maple Leafs lost 3-2 to the Minnesota Wild last night because Devan Dubnyk made 35 saves for the Wild. Ben Smith and Tyler Bozak got the goals for the Leafs, who are back at it Saturday night in Boston against the Bruins right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. The Blue Jays signed left-hander Brett Oberholzer to a minor league deal yesterday. The 27-year-old split last season between the Phillies and Angels and had a 5.89 ERA in 70 and a third innings. Raptors and T-Wolves tonight, 7 o'clock pregame show right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. And we got a beauty of a Thursday nighter. Raiders and Chiefs, 8 o'clock on Sportsnet from Kansas City.
Thank you, sir. It is 7:35. Welcome to the program from West Palm Beach at the NHL Board of Governor meetings. Insider for the NHL and Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada, brought to you by McAlpine Ford Lincoln in Aurora. Boy, oh boy, that's hard to get on a business card. Nick Kiprios, how are you, sir?
Good. How are you?
Good. I saw Fabro sent me a text picture of you last night enjoying dinner that you sent to him.
Yeah.
And pointed out that you were in West Palm Beach doing so. Tough life.
Yeah, these owners have it tough, you know, at the Board of Governors. They come in, they pick their spots. And, you know, as a professional broadcaster, it's important that we come down here and cover this. And, you know.
Yeah.
The Breakers.
Is that where you are, the Breakers?
The Breakers.
Is it nice there?
Oh, my God. Like a chocolate on my pillow like I've never seen before.
You better make sure. It's, other hotels, you think it's a chocolate. But
I saved mine for Elliot Friedman. Yeah.
Elliot, I left you a chocolate.
I've got chocolate.
Do you guys have one of those joining rooms, Nick, where you guys can just go in and out?
No.
Okay.
No. I don't want to see Elliot at all in that type of environment. No.
Hey, can I ask you a question? Do they make you guys share a room? Like, does one guy get a cot, or do you get a couple of doubles where you're next to each other?
Not yet, but I am worried.
Who would you
make sure?
If all the Canadian teams miss the playoffs again, Nick.
We need Canadian teams really bad in the playoffs, okay? Put it that way.
Hey, okay, so let's do this. Let's play this game. If indeed that happens and you guys are forced to bunk together at some point, who wouldn't you bunk with? Like, who would you like, you know what, I'll sleep in the same room as a number of guys. That's the guy I'm not sleeping in the same room with.
Oh, my God. There'd be a list. I don't probably Darren Millard I could not room with.
Why?
I don't know. You remind me of Felix Unger, I think.
He lives really close to me, and his house, the outside of his house, is always very well done. So you know he'd be pretty clean.
Yeah. It would drive me nuts.
Oh, okay.
It would drive me nuts.
Who would you love to bunk with?
Well, if I was single.
Yeah.
McLean.
Yeah. Nobody. I need to be by myself.
You need the room.
Listen, I like those guys, but I don't like them that much.
Yeah, I get it. Well, thanks for doing this. Appreciate it. Nick Kyprios, insider for the NHL and Sportsnet for McAlpine, Ford, Lincoln, and Aurora. Board of Governors meetings. Watched you and David Amber talk about the Olympics yesterday, and I got the feeling from you that it's not only a slam dunk, but there's a pretty good chance that you're not going to see NHLers, well, sanctioned anyway by the NHL at the Olympics this year.
You know what? I still don't know what the strategy is, big, long-term. We're going to find out more today when the Board of Governors get together here. We got to find out what their strategy is in terms of, they offered it up in a negotiation, but now they still might not go. I don't get that. And I get that maybe some owners will sit there and say, I don't want to shut down our business for 2 weeks. But you've either got this game plan that you want to grow the game internationally, or you don't. And I think that when they started in Agano in 98, there was a real commitment to go outside North America and sell this game. And I just don't know how you can pick and choose what Olympics you may want to go to. There's a lot of talk about skipping this one and going back to China the following one. And I'm sitting there going, either you're in or you're out. And I got to believe that they're in.
Do the players want to go?
Absolutely. They love it. They love it. The guys that they get to play in it every 4 years absolutely love it. You know, and the guys like the break too. They want the 2 weeks off. So it crams the schedule. There's no question about it. But the players love being part of it. It's just so different than the lifestyle of an NHL player. Great memories for the family, and of course the chance to win an Olympic medal. I mean, it's an amazing thing for the players. They don't want to lose it.
Mm-hmm. Nick, what about a guy like Ovechkin saying he's going regardless of whether or not NHL guys are going? Would he be allowed to go? Would Washington even let him go?
You know what? Washington may want him to go by then. Who knows? It's out there. There's no question it's out there, and there might be a few more. And then at that point, it would just be a negotiation between Ovechkin and the Washington Capitals. Do they support it? Do they not support it? Do they suspend them? Do they not welcome him back? I mean, who knows, but there is that possibility, and that would just strictly be a situation where Ovechkin and Washington would either come to some sort of conclusion, or Washington completely shuts him down and says don't go, and he goes anyways, and he's suspended for however long, you know, Washington or the league office would want him shut down. I mean, that's just that becomes an individual thing between the players and their respective clubs.
So take us through what happened with Jared Cowan yesterday. Luke McCown, my football on the brain. Jared Cowan yesterday, because he took the Leafs to arbitration. Basically, the Leafs said, get out of here. Don't want any part of your business. He cried foul and took it to the league. The league and the NHLPA then decided that the Leafs, in getting rid of him and waiving him, indeed had grounds to do so. Can you give us really quick kind of the Coles Notes version of what happened with Jared Cowan and how the Leafs got through this case?
Yeah, in a nutshell, he lost $1.5 million that he was never going to get back. And it's it's too bad, you know, for him and the PA, because I mean, there might be a little bit of a precedent set there, but basically it's did you come damaged goods or did you not? Was there a pre-existing injury?
Yeah, when they traded for him in that huge deal with Ottawa, he was, they didn't know he was as injured as he was, correct?
Correct. And of course the Leafs are saying he was fine. He stepped on the ice. I believe he played, and that's it. That's it in a nutshell, that you weren't hurt, and we still have the opportunity to buy you out at one-third opposed to two-thirds or opposed to not buying you out at all. And I think that was the case, that he was not eligible to be bought out because he was hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it.
And so that was his argument. His argument was, listen, I was hurt. You guys knew that. And they said, no, that absolutely isn't the case.
And you can't buy me out.
Yeah. And so it turns out that they sided with the Toronto. It's funny, how that management, they win every time.
Yeah.
And it meant over a million and a half of cash for him that he will not get back. And it's a difference maker for these guys who, and Cowan may never play again. He may play again. Who knows? But that's money that, unfortunately, we all could have loved to use in our careers. Yeah,
no kidding.
Nick, obviously, Vegas coming in next season, the 31st team. How eager are the owners to have that 32nd team to balance out the conferences? Where are we at with expansion talk, and more specifically, Quebec City?
Yeah, it's not out there. It's not out there right now. It's not on the agenda here at the Board of Governors. I think it was just a one-off right now, that you were lucky enough that you had people in Vegas willing to stroke a check for $500 million. I can tell you that there's a couple of clubs that are for sale. Carolina's for sale, and he's asking over $500 million, and it's not out there. And, you know, just because expansion got $500 million in Vegas, or the league got it, doesn't mean that every franchise right now is worth $500 million. And they're not getting it. Carolina's not getting it. You know, Pittsburgh's been asking for a very big number the last few years, and that's not out there either. So I don't know how you can add a 32nd team to answer your question when we still have some clubs like Arizona, Florida, Carolina, that are challenged every day to make it work still. So I it's not on the agenda, and I don't think they're discussing it in the next few days.
You know, hearing you even say that makes you wonder why they put a franchise in Vegas, but whatever. Nick.
Because somebody stroked a check.
Yeah, and the owners like that $20 million they got to put in their pocket.
100%.
Yeah, I would too. That would be awesome, huh? We should franchise the Fan.
Yeah.
Thanks for doing this, man. We really appreciate it.
Have a great one.
You too. Nick Kyprios, NHL Insider, brought to you by the Calpine Ford Lincoln in Aurora at the Board of Governors meetings for the NHL down in Florida.
Put a Fan in Mississauga. There you go, expansion. Radio station.
Yeah, right. 7:46.
Sweet.
Hold on. Your fail of the day. We've also got some free tickets to go see the Leafs play the Sharks. And my friend Casey Stern from the MLB Network joins us next. You're listening to Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Dean Blundell and Company's Fail of the Day.
That's when I blow it.
You blew it!
7:52, the fail of the day comes from our friend Arash Madani. He didn't fail. He just reported on it. Do you remember when the commissioner of the CFL a couple of weeks ago, Grey Cup, ramping up, and he's doing his State of the Union address, and someone asked him the question, tell us about concussions in the CFL. What is the CFL doing to help? Because it's well documented now that over 200 football players suffer from CTE. Concussions are bad. And do you remember Jeffrey Orridge? Remember what he said?
I don't believe it.
Yeah. He's like this.
I don't know what you're talking about. There's no direct link to any of that stuff.
Science.
I'm not even, you're not even really here.
Yeah.
You didn't even ask that question. La 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 la.
That's what he did. He went like this. La 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 la. I can't hear you. La 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 la.
Forget you, undeniable facts.
Yeah. Forget science. That's a joke. Well, this is the best. Documents obtained by Sportsnet show Commissioner Jeffrey Orridge, Commissioner of the CFL, fined more than 20 of 88 players who suit up for this year's Grey Cup because of violations of the socks they were wearing in their game. They had a bad sock game. The fine notice was sent to players December the 2nd, 5 days after the CFL's Grey Cup. The thriller was decided. Well, that's you can call it a thriller. There was a whole bunch of other stuff we watched, too.
It was a good game.
It was whatever.
The end?
While the league has a dress code policy, multiple sources that Sportsnet contacted had, quote, never heard of any players being slapped for fines because their socks weren't pulled up high enough. What a Bush League. Like, that's you want Bush League, the definition of Bush League? When you look it up in the Urban Dictionary, Wikipedia, you're like, Bush League, something that's really amateur, something that's a joke. They should put a picture of Jeffrey Orridge as Bush League. Well, concussions don't exist, but you know what's on the top of my mind this year? The way people are wearing their socks in games. Listen, we can't do anything about this mythical concussion thing, but I'll tell you what, we can make damn sure that players in our Grey Cup, they have socks that are actually to code, and they're wearing them properly, and they're according to uniform. He fined 22 players because their socks weren't to code.
The good news is the fine was $3.10. So that's the good news.
It's only 5% of their average salary. Yeah. So it was just under $5.
So they flipped him a fin for their sock violation.
That's not fair. The NFL fines.
And they said the next one, no, listen, the next one, he said, and I quote,
would be $10?
Yeah, way stiffer. So probably 10 to 15 in there.
Boom.
That's such a stupid thing. When, you know, like, of all the things that happened in the CFL, the game itself, the Grey Cup itself was okay. For Jeffrey Orridge, like, he just looks dumber with everything he does and says. And it's a good thing the CFL is in the top of my mind, because this would drive me crazy. If you're laboring in the CFL and you just provided it with maybe one of the greatest games in the history of its championship,
yeah,
and you get a letter from the commissioner saying, by the way, your socks were 2 inches too low, and I don't know if you've got one of those mythical concussions, but we're fining you $5. You can send that directly
to me. Make the check payable, too.
Because I get paid minimum wage, too, because right. I am the commissioner of the CFL.
And you can send cash in the mail. Don't worry about it.
Bush League. I'll share that with you. It's Dean Blundell. You can read it for yourself. Such a joke. I want to give you tickets to go see the Leafs Sharks next week. Call us now. Caller number 2416-870-0590. 888-666-0590. *590 on your cell phone. You will find yourself at the game, and we will get Casey Stern on the phone live next. You're listening to Sportsnet 590 The Fan.